former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN Studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, we had a fun weekend of sports. We had a Game 7 yesterday in the NBA. How are we doing today?
Good. It was great. I mean, that was fun to watch. The scheduling of the NBA is always interesting, right? Sunday at 1, I mean, they could have moved that to 4, right? I didn't understand that. I have to check in with Will Hill on what he was thinking there because he controls all the TV, as we know. But, interesting. I was the Magic looked like they were going to pull it off, play really well in the first half. But, when two of their starters shoot a combined 2 for 28, and that is Wagner and Suggs, it's hard to win games like that. I mean, they were 29 for 88 from the floor. And they had good looks, but when you shoot 33% from inside the two-point line and 32 outside the three-point line, hard to beat anybody at that point.
Yeah, no, it was a tough second half for the Orlando Magic. 41 points they scored in the second half as they fall to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 106-94. Cleveland moves on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. We'll turn it forward and get into that here in a little bit, but want to recap what we saw yesterday afternoon. And shout out to Donovan Mitchell, who in this Game 7 scores 39 points. This is following a valiant 52-point performance in Game 6 that lost down in Orlando Friday night. Well, he comes back and he puts up 39 on Sunday afternoon as the Cleveland Cavaliers, they get their first series victory without LeBron James since 1993. And this so happens to be the largest comeback in a Game 7 in NBA history since the league began tracking play-by-play in 1997-98. So an 18-point deficit the Cavs found themselves in the first half, but they kept chipping away, and their star player Donovan Mitchell rose to the occasion, which I know is cliche to sound, but it's what you really need in these postseasons. The Cavs had it in this series as they're moving on.
Yeah, and LeVert kept him in the game, right? I think LeVert should get enough credit, 15 points, and he was making some key shots when Mitchell wasn't playing well in the first half. And that kept him in the game, and then Mitchell's second half took over the game. He only misses two free throws. He goes to the line 17 times, Femi. So, I think to me that was the difference in the game and the cold shooting of the Magic. I mean, look, the Magic's a young team. Banchero's going to be a really good player. They just need more pieces. They couldn't really get anybody to make a shot. Like I said, Suggs is 2 for 13. Wagner's 1 for 15. I mean, that's 3 for 28 from the two-point. Yeah. That's 28 shots, and you're only making three of them inside of the three-point line. That's you're going to lose games all the time there. So, good season for Orlando, not quite what they expected, but they make the playoffs. They'll have a lot of flexibility in terms of cap moving into the offseason, so they certainly can improve because they have a legitimately great player in Banchero.
Yeah, this guy was the number one overall pick a couple seasons ago, and they won 47 games this year. Nobody expected Orlando to even be in the playoffs. They win 47 games, and they push Cleveland to the brink here in a Game 7. Banchero, shout out to Banchero, Seattle, Washington stand-up, 38 points for him, 16 rebounds in the loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And now for Cleveland, you spin it forward, and boy, do they have a tough task on their schedule here because they're going to be facing the conference finalist, not starting the conference finalist, the conference favorite, the NBA title favorite in the Boston Celtics in this matchup, where Cleveland is a massive underdog here in this series. Boston right now at DraftKings minus 1,200 to win the series. Cleveland, if you want to go ahead and back them to win it, you can get 8-1 on the Cavs to win this series, as of course as the odds indicate. And I think as everybody who watches NBA basketball all throughout the season would know, Boston has a significant advantage in this matchup.
Yeah, and we don't know whether Porzingis is going to be able to play in the series, and the line is still in favor of Boston distinctly, right? I mean, he's one of their best players, but with Tatum and Brown and the supporting cast, I mean, look, this is going to be a challenge. Orlando took them 7 games, and Orlando just couldn't win on Cleveland's court. Boston got cold water put on their face in Game 2 at the Garden, right? I mean, when this Heat, who had no business being in, as we saw in the next 3 games, had no business being involved, was able to steal a win in Boston. I think that kind of woke the Boston Celtics up, and I'm not sure they're going to take the Cavs lightly because they can't. The best thing that could happen for them is eliminate the Cavs in 4 games, 5 games, and then watch the Pacers and the Knicks continue to battle, because this marathon the Knicks are on, the physicality that they play with, the will that they have in terms of the effort that they have to bring night after night after night. You know, Randall's out. Bogdanovich is out. I mean, they're bringing it, and the bench, they went seven deep once Bogdanovich went out. Tom Thibodeau just went to seven players. So the wear and tear by the time the Knicks, if they do get to Boston, and Boston does get there, boy, it's going to be hard for them.
Yeah, the New York Knicks, they play that physical style of basketball that we love to see it, and I can't wait for this series. I mean, it brings me back to the 90s, seeing the Pacers and the Knicks playing in a playoff series in May. Like, this is what we all grew up on in the NBA, and it was just a fun kind of rivalry way back then. But now we'll see the Garden. As these games get bigger and bigger, the atmosphere is going to get even better. People who aren't from New York, I'm sure, just like roll their eyes at it. It's just different at Madison Square Garden, but it does feel that way. Like, I've never seen a game there. I'm not from New York, say that. It looks different on TV, and I'm sure it's even different when you're in the building.
There's certain franchises in all of sports that when the teams are good, the league's better. Right? When Washington, when they were, they called the Redskins. When they were good, the NFL was better. When the Giants were good, the NFL was better. When the Raiders and the Cowboys are good, the NFL is better. The NBA is better when the Knicks are good too, right? I mean, there's no mistake. It's just like the years when Boston was not good, you know, that's not good for the league. And so there's certain traditional franchises that you want. And the Knicks, I mean, the Garden's going to be alive with the Rangers. The Garden's going to be, I mean, you know, right now a ticket scalper working for Ticketron or whatever, you know, one of those secondary marketplaces, you're going to make a fortune, because getting into that Garden over the next 2 weeks ain't going to be easy.
Yeah, Game Time. Do they still advertise with us, Elliot? Game Time? Yep, thumbs up. If you're looking at tickets on Game Time, you might have some trouble finding tickets for this Knicks or these Rangers. I mean, Boston has the same thing. They got the Bruins rolling. They got the Celtics obviously rolling as the favorites to win the title. So Boston, New York are the mecca of the NBA and NHL playoffs that are going on. But that Knicks series price, they're minus 245 against the Pacers. Pacers plus 200. So New York expected to move on. But as we say, like, this team, they play these long, grueling series. We'll see if they can kind of match the pace of the Indiana Pacers, because I think that's where that series is going to be decided, who kind of dictates the pace. Because the Knicks, as you mentioned, they're only playing about seven guys or so, and they're playing so physical. Can they keep that going as they're a five-point favorite heading into tonight's matchup? A little bit of money coming in on Indiana before tonight's game one.
Yeah, I mean, look, Indiana, you know, they played Milwaukee. Milwaukee was hurting with a lot of guys. Milwaukee wasn't the same team ever since, you know, Doc, what were they, two games below 500 after Doc came in there. Mm-hmm. They really couldn't play the defensive effort. I mean, that's the one thing. The Knicks control the board. And Indiana, like Philadelphia, can't control the board. And that's going to be the big issue. If you just go back and take away the Knicks' second chance points in that series against Philly, Philly probably wins it 4-1. I mean, all those second chance points has killed Philly. Philly could never control the rebounds. It's, you know, the old Pat Riley line, no rebounds, no rings. And the Knicks get rebounds offensively and defensively, and they play with great effort, and they have great character, and they play with a team that's united. And give Rick Carlisle credit. His team is starting to play that way too, but I just think, to me, the way the Knicks are and the second chance points and the lack of rebounding for Indiana, that's going to be a hard thing to overcome.
Yeah, cheapest ticket, our producer Elliot just texted me, $350 before fees for tonight's game at Madison Square Garden over on the Game Time app. So it's going to be a tough ticket out there at the Mecca, where everyone loves to see playoff basketball, and we're going to get more of it later on this evening as the Knicks are five-point favorites. 5.5 over at DraftKings, but 5 other else in the market against the Indiana Pacers. We're going to see a Game 2 tonight, as well as the Game 1. What a performance. I mean, an absolute just kind of early haymaker that was thrown by the Minnesota Timberwolves Saturday night in Game 1 in the Western Conference semifinals against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. Minnesota won that game. They're now catching 5.5. Some people might think that this is a good bounce-back spot here for Denver. Home team with home court advantage, down 0-1. This is kind of one of those, not really a must win, but it's a gotta have it. You don't want to fall down 0-2 going back to the Twin Cities, where I'm sure that place will be a madhouse with the way that they've looked over the past couple of weeks here in these playoffs.
I mean, when you look at it from Minnesota's standpoint, one of their best players, McDaniels, 0-7 from the floor, 0-2 from three-point line. Now, he was still plus 14 in the game, but didn't score a point. You know, and they still won convincingly because, you know, Edwards gets 43 points. Look, I think the one thing to look for tonight is the appetite of the Timberwolves, right? Are they content? Are they going to go out and give it everything they have? Because if we want to call Anthony Edwards the next coming of Michael Jordan, we're going to see it tonight. We're going to see his competitive fire tonight, right? Because we know Jordan, you know, Jordan loved these situations where everybody assumed they weren't going to play their best and that he played great, you know? And I think ultimately that's what the Timberwolves – look, the Timberwolves are a good team. When you listen to anybody talk about the Timberwolves, when you know, they were the number one seed in the West, it was a really good season. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Nuggets, you know, I got too many McDaniels. All the
Malone
and football kind of crosses. Yeah, a lot of mics.
A lot of mics.
But he made it really clear after the game, we got to play better. We got to raise our level of intensity. We have to meet them, and their bench is good, right? JVT said this on the show last week, that Naz Reid and Alexander and Anderson, they give them good minutes off the bench, and they did. I mean, Anderson was -9, but the other two players, Morris and Alexander, and Naz Reid was sensational. I mean, Naz Reid had 16 points in the last game, 7-for-11 from the floor.
Yeah, no, we've talked about this team for much of this regular season. You've asked JVT about them, and defense is what he's always pointed to. Like, this is what is their calling card. Gobert anchors that defense, the likely defensive player of the year in the NBA, and now Anthony Edwards able to do what he's doing, and it feels like he's elevating his game in the postseason. He's obviously been a terrific player through his career, but it feels like he's reaching that all-NBA first-team level during this playoff run, and we always talk about our guys next. He might be right now, Anthony Edwards, what he's able to do at his young age for this T-Wolves team. All right, we'll continue our NBA discussion a little bit later, but we have some appointments coming up next. Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham Jr., Daryl Morey, what do they have in common? They're stepping into the office next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel wrote up a great preview for the Mavericks Thunder series that's going to be tipping off Tuesday night. Make sure you check that out. Among other NBA playoff articles, Stanley Cup playoff articles, and Major League Baseball, you get the betting splits, the best bets, everything else on the new revamped VSiN.com. Check out the VSiN.com today.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, it's about that time, 1:15 Eastern, 10:15 a.m., and we got a plethora of A-listers who are waiting to step into the office. The first one, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who is cleared to go for OTAs in June. Why does Rodgers need to step into the office? What does he need to hear, Michael?
Well, I think what you need to tell everybody is lower expectations. Like, I know you want everybody to know you're healthy and you're back, but also manage the expectation, because we know this, Aaron. You're the only one who can do it. Your head coach is a loose cannon. He has no idea. When he gets in front of the media, God only knows what he's going to say. He can't. I mean, just how they put out that draft day video with him and Joe Douglas laughing about other people's picks when he hasn't even made the playoffs is remarkable. You're the only adult in the room, right? You're the only adult in the room. You got to act like an adult. And the best thing you can do, instead of putting more pressure on your injured Achilles and on the Jet team, is to take some of the pressure off and kind of soothe everybody, lower the expectations. What you always want to do is advance expectations, not disappoint expectations. So take a page from Warren Buffett's book. Just manage it correctly. And remind your head coach that, you know, he's not won anything. And that for him, the best thing he can do is to use his ears and mouth in proportion. Think twice, talk less. And that would really help out the Jets.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, just not for Aaron Rodgers, maybe for a lot of us out here, to think twice and talk less. The New York Jets, expectations this season, 9.5 is the win total, -115 to the over, -105 to the under.
You bet it? What are you doing?
On paper, it looks good, but we say that the ifers, if all of these things work out, maybe they can put it together. But right now, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket and not take it to the window behind me. We're not doing it. Not yet. Maybe a little bit later.
I think the lesson there for everybody who listens here is – you're investing money in May that you're not going to earn until January, if you earn it. And I think it's too risky of a prop. You have to feel 1,000% behind it to risk it, to wait that long for your money. And so to me, forget that we think Saleh's not a good coach. Forget that we think that they have if problems. The reality of it is that they could go any direction. It's just there's no tangible evidence one way or the other.
Well, what about the evidence on this next player? Odell Beckham Jr. over the weekend signed with the Miami Dolphins. 1-year deal worth up to $8.25 million. Odell, now 31 years old. What does he need to hear as he enters his new venture in South Beach?
You know, one of the things, Odell, that's always beneficial, and I know it's for me especially, is when we can live our life backwards, when we can realize the mistakes we've made of our past and correct them in our future. And I think you have to take ownership for some of the things that happened. And now as you come in at 31 years old to a team that has a lot of good players, a lot of young players, you're going to have to be the leader. You're going to have to be mature. You can't go having a boat party. You can't go out there and let the Miami vibe get you, because I think that's one of the reasons you signed in Miami, because knowing you as a competitor, you want the ball, but you're going to be the third receiver at best on this team. So obviously lifestyle was important to you to sign in Miami, along with tax-free state and the $3 million they're going to give you. So you're going to have to really take some players under your wing and show maturity, because the only chance you have to win a Super Bowl, the only chance you have to win the East, is if this team really focuses on football. And as you know better than I, there's a lot of things to do in Miami. And there's a lot of avenues to go down where trouble lurks. And you can create that. But if you stay away and you show that you're the adult, maybe the young players will follow suit and listen to you. To me, this is more about what's your character going to be like on this team than what's your talent going to be like. Because they have enough talent. They've scored enough points. They just haven't been able to be a competitively tough team against best competition. That's something that you can do based on what you do off the field.
Yeah, that no state income tax, boy, that's a nice little carrot to dangle in front of somebody right there, as Odell Beckham Jr. will be with the Miami Dolphins. All right, Philadelphia 76ers basketball of operations president Daryl Morey is speaking to the media right now in Philly about what has to happen this offseason. What does he need to hear as he addresses the media and sort of sets forth the plan for this summer and how the Sixers can kind of improve this roster?
Really, Daryl, it comes down to then is then, now is now. And stop falling in love with then players and look at now. I think, you know, look, you are the champion of the Sloan Conference for analytics. And you've got to really take and that's based on not having bias. That's based on numbers. And yet, you know, when you traded for James Harden, there was only one player. You traded Ben Simmons, there was only one player you wanted was James Harden. And so you're going to have to diversify your portfolio here in terms of what you're going to build a team. Now, look, I realize it's hard to build a team around a guy who calls himself a center, but he plays like a small forward. I get that. And I get that Maxey isn't the guy that you can just put every team on his back and win with. But it's how you construct the team. And I know for a long time in talking to you and listening to you that character and your team chemistry means nothing to you. But it better start. It better start, because that's the only way you're going to win. And your career, which has never gotten to the finals, even though you have this incredible reputation of being this incredible general manager, when you look at that, there's a reason you haven't gotten there. And it's because your team's not unified. Your team doesn't have any mental or physical toughness. And this team is lacking in that area. So my advice to you is don't sell us on we're just going to run it back with the great Joel Embiid. Don't sell us on, you know, we got all this cap room. Sell us on being tactical and having a strategy that involves youthful players that can make a difference in May. Because you and I both know, no matter how much everybody wants to deny it in the Philadelphia area, Joel Embiid will be hurt next May. That's a given. And so you better have a team that isn't reliant upon him to carry it. And you can't have old players.
If he asked you, should I trade Embiid this offseason, what would you tell him?
I think to me it would depend on what the deal is. Look, as much as I know Embiid isn't what you want as your signature player, I think there is a way to make Embiid settle for a lesser role and bring in players where he no longer is the leader of the team. I think when we let Jimmy Butler walk out of the building, we lost that opportunity. Butler would have been the alpha male in the room.
Yep.
Instead, we listened to Ben Simmons, not one of them in the room. That's on Josh Harris. The brilliance of Josh Harris' organization is to listen to the players. That's why he's never produced anything in his ownership in the 76ers. So for me, it's about if you could make Embiid not the guy to carry the team, but the guy to supplement the team, I'm all for it. Because you're not going to get the value back. You just have to realize he's on the downside of his career. That knee is going to continue to bother him. He's going to have other ailments because for all the conversation about wanting him to be in shape, he's never going to get it. It hasn't happened in 10 years that he's in shape. It ain't going to happen now. He's over in Longport. He's 10 miles away from me right now, probably having a Shirley Temple and looking at the ocean. It ain't going to happen.
Sounds like a pleasant time. Up next, Ezekiel Elliott, after 1 year in New England, is returning home to the Dallas Cowboys. How should Zeke approach this offseason as the Cowboys running back one?
Well, I think, I don't think Zeke you're going to be one, but I think you're going to be a key component to the team. Short yardage, goal line, you got to put the ball in the end zone, get those tough first downs. But one thing I know about you, Zeke, your character can carry the team. And I think that's going to be really important. I think you're going to have to hold down the fort here a little bit when the tidal wave comes in. When you lose a couple games and people start to doubt the head coach, you're going to have to settle everybody down and settle the quarterback down. Even though you're not the player you once were, you could still offer some things in that locker room that can really help the team out. And you're just going to have to hold on to the football, and you got to get everybody to buy into the program because it's going to take a team to beat the Eagles. It's not going to take just one player.
Yeah, starting to already see in some sportsbooks the Eagles becoming the favorite to win the NFC East. All right, final one. This one is NFL rookies as a whole. Rookie camp started to begin this past weekend, and they'll continue on throughout this week here. How should rookies approach this offseason? What do they need to hear as they begin their NFL careers?
Well, the first thing they need to hear is get in shape. You're not in anywhere near shape. You got to get in shape because the only way you can play is to be in shape. You can't be exhausted and catching your breath and learn how to play. That's one. Get in shape. Get in the best condition you could possibly get in. Two, you're going to have to learn a skill within the system. Just one skill. You can't learn the whole thing in 1 year. It's too hard. Master that skill. Spend extra time on your own. And then the most important thing is you got to accept the fact that you're no longer an amateur, that you become a professional, and understand what professionals do and how you have to behave on the field and off the field, because you're not in college anymore. You're not in college anymore. This is a hard league. It's an unforgiving league. And if you don't become a professional quickly, the amateur status will go away and you'll be on the street.
That's really well said there. That is Step Into My Office here on this Monday in the Lombardi Line. Coming up next, we begin our guest as Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, joined us to recap the weekend in betting here on Visa.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data, and winning strategies. So only a limited time, normally priced at $240 for an annual subscription, you can now get it for just $199. Sign up today, and we'll also give you an extra 2 months free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code Lombardi. You got to use promo code Lombardi. VSiN.com/subscribe. You're going to get 19 hours of live programming, the betting systems, the betting analysis, the splits, everything your heart desires. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe for 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code Lombardi, VSIN.com/subscribe. That is a steal if I've ever heard one.
One bet, Femi, one bet that you make that comes through from all the information that you get from looking at the morning line, watching, it pays for itself. It's really, you know what, I don't think people realize out there, and I know we got TG waiting and we'll get to him, but I don't think what people realize is every investment firm has analytics that they use, or what they call researchers, data, you know, and that they pay for. And that gets them information. If you're in whatever field you're in, you get airport information, transportation, all this stuff comes in. And that helps them make decision on what stock they're going to buy or where they're going to place their money. To me, this is what we have to offer. Doesn't mean we're always going to be right. Doesn't mean we're always going to, but it's going to help you more than you're going to help yourself.
100%. As you said, help yourself. Help us help you. And go ahead, VSiN.com/subscribe. Right. Promo code Lombardi. Make sure you get that promo code correct. All right, he's been standing by. I haven't talked to this gentleman in quite some time on one of our shows. Was texting back and forth with him a couple of weeks ago. But the one and only Thomas Gable, the Racing Sportsbook Director at the Borgata, joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line. TG, hope all is well. It's been way too long. How did this past sports weekend treat you guys over there at the Borgata?
Yeah, good to be with you, Femi, and Michael. And yeah, obviously a very busy weekend between the Kentucky Derby. You had the playoffs going on in the NHL and NBA. You had a UFC pay-per-view. You had Canelo fighting on Saturday night. So it's a very busy time of the year. I think people overlook May. But, you know, after we get through March Madness, everybody thinks we can all take a big breath and relax. And you can for a couple weeks there, and then it kind of gets ramped up again. And this month is very busy. I mean, that, you have 2 weeks off now. And then it's the Preakness, and then obviously the playoffs continue through this month. And you know, baseball going every day, and then so it's not a month to overlook in terms of action, because there's plenty to be had here.
Yeah, no. TG, the Derby looked like the betting was incredible there at Churchill Downs. How was it in Atlantic City, and did you have the favorite there? Did you have the winner in your pocket?
I did not, and let me tell you, I didn't hear too many people touting Mystic Dan throughout the lead up to that race. So, and evidence from people cashing. There wasn't a lot of people cashing after the race. So It was obviously a great finish there. Voto finish with three horses. Mystic Dan pulls out the win. Forever Young, that was one of the horses that I did use a lot, in a lot of my exotics. No Japanese horses ever won the Derby. And I thought that this horse had a really good shot. Won the Saudi Derby back in February, and the UAE Derby in March. So I really like this horse coming in. Obviously a little bit of controversy there at the end, with the bumping going on and the grabbing, but no inquiry, and it went up and stood. So for those who had Mystic Dan out there, great call, because I really did not hear too many people touting that horse going into the race. Yeah. And now we'll see if he does run here in the Preakness less than 2 weeks from now.
I did not have Mystic Dan on my betting card, so it was not a successful Kentucky Derby for myself. But hey, we move on to the Preakness, and we'll move on to the other sports as well. We are speaking with Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata, here on the Progressive Guest Line. Well, TG, let's hope that people have made enough money betting on the New York Knicks over these playoffs to go ahead and bet tonight. The Knicks are now 5-point favorites hosting Indiana in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Total 217.5. Have you seen just a lot of Knicks money for series price, maybe even futures bets? As I think a lot of people, even if you're just a casual observer, are falling in love with this Knicks team with the way they play basketball.
Yes, and it's magnified for us times X amount because of the fact that we always get New York money here. So the Knicks-Sixers series was extremely heavily bet, and we were in an odd position there where almost every game of that series we needed the Sixers, which, again, very unusual for us to be in that type of position. But so there's a lot of Knicks backing going on here. They are the big favorite heading into this series. Chop around, because, again, you're probably going to be paying a little bit more of a premium here. $2.75 favorite for the series price on the Knicks here. So you probably get better prices elsewhere, in full transparency. But we take a lot of New York money. And you know, I think when you look at this series, there's a few things. Number one, the rebounding. The Knicks certainly have the rebounding advantage. You saw it on full display when they played the Sixers. I know Michael was probably screaming at the TV in every game, and just the Sixers could not get a defensive rebound. It seemed like the Knicks would have 2-3 opportunities every possession. They were just pounding the offensive boards in that series, and I think the Pacers are also going to have a very difficult time keeping the Knicks off the boards in this one. The other big thing, though, I think with this series, the biggest thing, I think, is going to be who dictates the pace of play, because you have the two extremes here with these two teams. The Pacers, one of the fastest teams in the league. They love to get up and go. The Knicks are one of the slowest teams, if not the slowest team in the league. So who dictates this pace is going to be interesting. That's not to say the Knicks can't play up-tempo with the Pacers. I just don't know if it's going to be in their best interest, because you have their coach, Thibodeau, who doesn't run a very deep rotation. Seven-man right now is really what he's using. And as this series winds up, goes on, if these guys continue to push the pace, I think it's going to wear the Knicks down. I really do, because Thibodeau loves to play guys for a long time and gives them a lot of minutes. And if this goes 6-7 games, you're going to see, I think, fatigue start to come in on the part of the Knicks. The Knicks have to be able to control the pace and slow this down and play at the pace that they want to, because I just don't think that it's in their best interest to get into a track meet with the Pacers with the way that Thibodeau rotates players through. It's just, I think fatigue is going to be a factor. Plus, you don't have a lot of rest in between games. The way that the NBA has this scheduled, you play a game, night off, play another game, night off, play another game. So there isn't this big break between games where guys can get rest.
What about the Mavericks Thunder? Thunder, you know, obviously took care of business in their series quickly, and the Mavericks had a physical, grueling six-game series against the Clippers, but they were able to do it. What's your thought on this series, and who do you have as the favorite? I know it goes back and forth.
Yeah, we have Thunder's small favorite, $1.20 favorite in this series. And, you know, when you look at our future book and our liabilities there in the West, Mavs are by far our best scenario to come out of the Western Conference. It just seems like they were the ignored team in the West. Everybody else seemed to be taking money, but everybody kind of ignored Dallas. And obviously they came into the playoffs playing very well. Luka seems to be healthy again. Obviously Kyrie is playing at a very high level right now. But this Thunder team, as young as they are, they're extremely talented. They play well as a group. They've gelled very well. So this is going to be a very interesting series here to see who comes out of this, because obviously you may have the defending champs waiting for you in Denver or possibly Minnesota, who's going to give them a series, whether people wanted to believe that or not, coming into the series. Minnesota is going to be right there in that one. So the West is very, very interesting, I think, to see who's going to come out of there.
Hey, TG, we got about 30 seconds left. You mentioned Minnesota and Denver. The Nuggets are getting bet right now. They're up to 6. I'm looking at the series price. They're plus 105 to win this series. Is this a good time to bet Denver? Is this a good buy low spot here for the Nuggets?
Well, I think it is. I mean, we opened them as a $2 favorite for this series. And after game one, now as we currently stand, you know, as you said, you can either get a small plus price, even money. So I think if you do like Denver, now is the time to jump on them for the series price. As you mentioned, there has been a move in this game. We opened 4.5. We're actually up to 6, as you said. So Nuggets have been taking money for tonight.
All right. He is Thomas Gable, race and sports book director over at the Borgata in Atlantic City. TG, hope all is well, man. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you, TG.
All right, we'll talk about that. I mean, a good time to buy in on this Denver team getting plus money, still with the best player, in my opinion, Nikola Jokic. We'll do some NFC
you
East.
You want to do it. This is the third time you brought it up. You love it.
I do kind of love it. We'll be back on the other side.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata, who joined us in the last segment. And Michael, I can report during the break, I placed a wager on the Denver Nuggets to win the series. So
of course you did.
Right behind me here at Circa. I couldn't help myself.
You could not help you. I could just hear it in your voice. It was like when you were in love with Tua. I knew you were going to the window, and you're Justin Fields. I knew it.
We got a good
there
price,
though. No denying it.
As we always say, that's shop the greatest around.
I love when bettors say that. It's not the good price you want. It's the good bet you want. We want a winning bet. Stormy said this the other day last week when we were talking about the draft 2 weeks ago. And she's like, I don't mind paying negative if I think it's going to come true. And she's right.
Yeah.
Minus money. And she's right.
Yeah, no, that's
very
true.
She sails through the Strait of the Strait of Alaska there. She's going through, right?
Yeah, Stormy and vacation, going to an Alaskan cruise. I'm sure that's going to be a whole lot of fun for her, spending the whole week out there. Some rest and relaxation. But plus 112 is the price that we got here at Circa. So as we always say, shop around. But I do believe that the Denver Nuggets are going to win this series. So I think it's a good price, and I think it's a good bet.
I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, to me, we're going to find out what the Timberwolves are made of. I think they're really mentally and physically tough. Mm-hmm. And I think this, you know, Anthony Edwards is fabulous, and they've got a lot of good players. And they, you know, when you build your team around a defensive team, unlike Miami, who built around offense, you can get control of a game, and you can, and the game doesn't get away from you, right?
Yep.
When you're built around offense and your offense doesn't win, you know, you have a harder time controlling the game. And I think ultimately, you know, this is something that, you know, that the Timberwolves teach us this. So I really think it'll be a, you know, I don't think they're going to go away, but I do think that the Nuggets being champions have that champion heart.
Yeah, and I understand why the series price moved like it, because Minnesota stole home court advantage and they looked really good in doing so. And they've yet to lose in this postseason, by the way. That's really impressive. But sometimes I think it gets a little bit too far, because we all acknowledge that this was going to be a long series before it even started. Just because Denver went down 0-1 doesn't mean that they can't win the next two, and all of a sudden they steal home court advantage back. So I still have confidence in Nikola Jokic, who I believe is the best player in the NBA. Michael Malone's a really good head coach, and this team in the clutch has been nails throughout this postseason, and I think that'll continue. So we're going to go ahead and back the Denver Nuggets. We have bet them plus 112 to win the series in advance of the Western Conference Finals. All right, let's discuss the NFL as we continue our NFL draft division recaps, and we will go with the NFC East today. And the headliner in the NFC East has to be the Washington Commanders, who got their new quarterback in Jaden Daniels with the second overall pick. The former Heisman Trophy winner will be the signal caller in our nation's capital for Dan Quinn and the Commanders. But the rest of their class, rather interesting. They got Johnny Newton from Illinois, the defensive tackle. They also addressed some other needs, drafted a tight end. They had some O-line work that they did as well, but a lot on defense, though, trying to get Dan Quinn some extra pieces for that Commanders defense. How would you, I guess, not really grade their draft, but what did you think of their team-building process and adding Daniels and the rest of the draft picks?
Well, I mean, they really spent a lot of time and effort on defense. They tried to get Dan Quinn-type players in there, whether it was, you know, Dante Fowler, who he had with them at D.C., whether it was Dorrance Armstrong, who he had with them, at Dallas. They were there. And then, you know, Bobby Wagner, he signs from Seattle. And really, Bobby's going to be like a player coach on the field to give him some stability at the Mike linebacker. Frankie Louvu is a really good player who they signed from Carolina. Jeremy Chin's another good player from Carolina. They've upgraded their team, there's no question. And they'll play hard. One thing, Quinn, there'll be an effort from Quinn's team. They'll play hard and they'll play together and there'll be a direction. And offensively, the question still remains, are they good enough in the offensive line? They drafted Brandon Coleman in the third round to be the left tackle. They're going to need that, because right now Corn Lucas is the left tackle. Right tackle is Andrew Wiley, who's an average player. This offensive line is average at best, even though they've put money into it. I think that's going to be the concern if you're Daniels. He's going to run. I think his running prop was over 500. I think that's a good play. I think he's going to take off and run. The protection, they don't have enough offensive linemen. They're not good enough there. But, look, they're going to be improved. Do I think they get seven? You know, I could see it, but I also could see them losing a lot of close games, you know. And I think getting the kicker, McManus, helps them. Joey Slova was not very good last year. You know, he just signed with the Patriots on that. But they have improved their overall depth of their team. They just have a long way to go, and the quarterback's going to hold them back a little bit as a rookie.
Yeah. Do you think he's ready to, like, kind of be an instant impact guy, Jaden Daniels, I mean? Like, because expectations now for rookie quarterbacks, probably unfair, but people are like, oh, C.J. Stroud did it. Why can't my guy do it? But that's just probably not realistic in what people should be expecting.
Yeah, I mean, look, D'Amico comes in and changed the defense. They played hard. It didn't start off well. I mean, I think there's certainly you can make that argument, but I think Houston's offensive line with Tunzel at left tackle and some Shaq Mason and some of the other players they have was better than this line. A veteran tight end and Dalton Schultz. You know, Nico Collins comes through for him, Noah Brown, and then Tank Dell emerged. You know, they've got good skill in McLaurin and Dotson, but, you know, they draft McCaffrey in the third round. We'll see how that works out. But I just think they're a little bit away. I think they've improved the talent base of their team. Can they? And it's going to take a year to get this thing to all play together.
How about the New York Giants, who, I mean, 2 years ago, they were the toast of the town. Brian Daboll, coach of the year. They go to the playoffs. They win a playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings, and everybody thought that the Giants had kind of arrived. Well, they took a step back last season. Now they sit here with a win total of 6.5. Their draft was Malik Nabers, who they got out of LSU, really dynamic wide receiver. But then they addressed safety and corner, and they got some tight ends and a linebacker. I guess, are the Giants, who also has a win total of 6.5, are they in a good spot going forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it, right? And I think it's interesting how we were talking about the betting market. You know, Daniel Jones is still their starting quarterback. I mean, they did nothing to a position. Look, you know, when you say the Giants were a playoff team, and you cannot deny they made the playoffs, they beat a Minnesota team that was very fortunate to win a lot of close games. Yep. And they never could stay close to Dallas or Philly. Anytime they play, and the second half of that season was a disaster. That playoff season really hurt the Giants. It didn't help them. It hurt them because it gave them a false pretense about their quarterback. And then they signed him to a 2-year contract of $80 million. He wasn't the reason they won. He wasn't. He averaged 6.89 yards per attempt. He wasn't the reason they won. The reason they won was they managed the game. They got ahead of people early and they came from behind. They won some close games in the first half of the season, but after the Seattle loss, it kind of went south. And they lured themselves into thinking they're better than they really are, and that's a horrible disease to have is when you think you're better, you know? And so now they've got Nabers, who's a really good player, but can Daniel Jones get on the football? You still have Illuminor as your starting right tackle. Is that going to be good enough? Or are they going to, you know, I mean, look, we don't talk about it, but Evan Neal, one of the first picks of Joe Shane, has not been a good player for him. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens there. I'd have a hard time thinking the Giants win seven. I really do.
Yeah, the betting market
is telling. Not everybody in the league can win seven. Not everybody in the league can win seven. That's the thing, you know. It's like somebody's going to have the first pick in the draft, right?
The betting market is telling the Giants that their quarterback is a 6.5 win total caliber quarterback, which I think if you're the Giants and you pay that money, it's not what you want to hear. The Philadelphia Eagles, on the other hand, their win total is at 10.5. They draft a couple of corners to start off, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and they made a bunch of trades throughout the draft processes. I think on paper, it looks like they've improved their roster.
No question. In the betting market, I mean, they have the most bet team in terms of winning. They've moved the number. They've jumped ahead of Dallas, and rightly so, because on paper, they look really good. On paper, they look in the and remember, on paper, too, this involves coaching, right? Vic Fangio is a better defensive coordinator than what they had last season, right? That's no question. You know, I mean, Kellen Moore comes in to run the offense with Nick Sirianni. Is he better than who they had last year? Probably. And if they coach him, which Philly does a good job of coaching the coaches, maybe they'll get more out of him in the passing game. This should make Jalen Hurts a better player. I think, to me, they've had a good offseason. You know, and even though I'm not in love with the Kellen Moore, he's going to have to run the ball because you got Barkley and you need your quarterback to have a running game to be successful. But on paper, I think they've done a lot. Now, they've got two big ifs. They got to get Carter and Davis to play well inside.
Yeah, those Georgia defensive tackles, especially Carter – early on in the season, it's like, whoa, this guy is amazing. Then it kind of tailed off a little bit in the second half of the season, and their defense as a whole sort of tailed off with what they were getting on the back end at corner, which is why they went ahead and addressed that position with Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo and Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Right now at DraftKings, co-favorites with the Dallas Cowboys, plus 130, both of them. We'll get into the Cowboys draft in hour number two, as well as a couple guests here. We'll keep it rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.